Today's daf is Chulin daf Tesvav. We are holding on the bottom of daf Yudalad Amud Beis. We had this comment right after the Mishnah on Yudalad Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah had said that if a person shechs on Shabbos or Yom Kippurim, even though he's mischayev benafshor, his shechita is kosher. So right away, Rav had made this comment, but asura ba'achila liyoma. He's definitely not allowed to eat from it on Shabbos. So the Gemara was trying, and then we said, oh, and that's assuming like the shechita of Rabbi Yehuda. So what the Gemara is trying to figure out is which shechita of Rabbi Yehuda would lead you to believe that when you shecht on Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat from it on that Shabbos. So we had a couple of suggestions yesterday, and today we're going to have two more suggestions. The suggestions we had yesterday, and the first of the suggestions we're going to have today, relate to the issue of muktzah, that the reason you're not allowed to eat from it on Shabbos is because of some muktzah-related issue, and some shita of Rabbi Yehuda that relates to muktzah. But then the final suggestion is going to be that's got nothing to do with muktzah. It's a totally separate sugya called Maisa Shabbos, that when a person does malacha on Shabbos, there are limitations in terms of getting hana'ah from that malacha that was done on Shabbos. So we're going to have Amud Aleph of Daf Tesvav Amud Aleph is going to be primarily about the issue of Maisa Shabbos, of when one can cannot get hana'ah from malacha that was done on Shabbos. It doesn't matter if it was done by Shogig or Mezid, it doesn't matter if it's the person who does it, the person who actually did the malacha, or other people, and on Shabbos and after Shabbos. So we're going to talk all about that. And then on the bottom, we're going to discuss using meat that was shechted or cooked on Shabbos. Is there a difference between whether it was shechted on Shabbos or whether it was cooked on Shabbos? And we're going to have to contend with two issues, both the issue of Maisa Shabbos and the issue of Muktzah, because a live animal, you would imagine, or even raw meat, you would imagine, was not designated for Shabbos use before Shabbos came in. So not only is it an issue of Maisa Shabbos if you cook it or shecht it, it's also an issue of Muktzah. And then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to tell us what kind of kelim can be used for shechita, and what specifically cannot be used for shechita, even though they may be very sharp kelim, but they cannot be used for shechita. And the Gemara on the bottom of the Amudim is going to go into tomorrow's daf, is going to talk about that which is mechubar being used for shechita, and whether there's a chilik between that which is mechubar and that which was mechubar mechubar meikaro, and that which was talush l'basov chibro, whether something was always mechubar or has just manually been connected to something after it was already talush, and whether that's going to make a difference to use a sharp item that is mechubar for shechita. We're going to have to discuss a little bit what the geder of the problem of mechubar is. Why is it a problem to do shechita with that which is mechubar in some way? What does it mean? Mechubar to what? Mechubar to karka, mechubar to people, mechubar to walls, mechubar to animals. We'll have to discuss. So again, we're holding on daf Yudalim Beis. Are we still in the sponsorship? I think we're still in the sponsorship. Yeah? Okay, so today's year once again is sponsored by the Bookbinder family, L'Zecher Nishmas Ruth Simon, Aleha Shalom, Rachel Perel Bas Avram, an outstanding contributor to South Shore, Mesifta Teres Yaakov, and other mostos. We then again thank the Bookbinders very much for the sponsorship and the Neshama Shrav and Aliyah. So again, five lines from the bottom of the page, or six lines from the bottom of the page, on Daf Yudalad Amud Beis, which Shita of Rabbi Yehuda leads us to believe that Rabbi Yehuda would not allow eating the shechted meat on Shabbos. Ela Amar Rav Sheshes Ben Ravidi, Rabbi Yehuda de Neros eats. The Shita of Rabbi Yehuda about the Muktzah status of Neros. Titania, because we have a Braisa, Metaltel Ner Chadash, Avalo Yashan, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda holds it could be Metaltel, a new Ner on Shabbos, it's not Muktzah, but an old Ner, a Ner that's been used, you cannot be Metaltel. When we think of the term Ner, we're right after Hanukkah, we always think of like a candle, like a wax candle. That is not at all what the Gemara means by Ner. What the Gemara means by Ner is the little Kli Cheres within which you would put oil and a wick. They sell them in the Shuk still, those little Kli Cheres. They have that is have like sort of like an oblong shape that you put oil in and you stick a wick in. So the ner is the actual kli cheres. Thing is, once a kli cheres is used as a ner and it's already lit, you already light oil in such a ner, it becomes disgusting. It's impossible to clean it out afterwards. So a ner chadash you can use for all sorts of things. It's just a little kli with a base kibble. You could put a drink of water in there and drink out of it, and it's perfectly fine and clean. But once it's already been used as a ner, once it's a ner yashan, then it's mius. Then it's already disgusting. You can't use it for anything else. So Rabbi Yehuda says, so the Braisa tells us that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowed to be metaltal ner chadash because it has all sorts of uses. Avalo yashan, but not an old ner, because the only use of a ner yashan is to light another fire in there, and obviously not allowed to do that in Shabbos. So that's going to be muktzah. It's muktzah machmas mius. No one would ever use it for putting food in or anything like that. So it says Mar Yemer Tzomle Rabbi Yehuda be muktzah machmas mius, muktzah machmas is or mishamatle. Oh, all you've proven from there is that Rabbi Yehuda holds that when something is muktzah machmas mius, you're not allowed to use it on Shabbos. But over here in our Mishnah, we're not talking about muktzah machmas mius. It's a behemoth that you shechted on Shabbos. Why was it muktzah when Shabbos started? Because it's usher to shecht an animal on Shabbos. So it's muktzah machmas iser. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda is only going to be machmir, not to benefit from that, which not to use that which is muktzah machmas mius, but it'll be more makel when it comes to muktzah machmas iser. So it says Mar in Titzan Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kol Neru Shal Matachas Metaltalin Chutz Miraner Shadika Baba Osa Shabbos. And in fact, we find that Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to a Ner Shal Matachas, which is not mius, it's because it could be cleaned out. You're allowed to be metaltal unless it was Hidika Baba Osa Shabbos, unless it was lit for, it was already lit on that Shabbos. Because if it was lit on that Shabbos, then it's Muktzah Machmas Isser. So you see, Rabbi Yehuda is more machmir about Muktzah Machmas Isser than he is about Muktzah Machmas Mius. Says Marna Vadilna Shiny Hasam to Dachle Biyadayim. Now maybe the fact that Rabbi Yehuda was machmir about the ner that was Siddiqa Baba Osir Shabbos was only because you were madlikit, so you were doche it from use. But an animal, you never made it Aver Menachai, it was born that way. So you never made it Muktzah, so maybe that's not a great source. The idea that Rabbi Yehuda holds a din of Muktzah by a ner does not necessarily mean that a behemoth that checked on Shabbos is going to be Muktzah for the rest of that Shabbos and be Aser for the rest of that Shabbos, because the behema is not Muktzah Machmas Mius, and even its Muktzah Machmas Isser status is not an Isser of your doing. It's not an Isser of your creating. It's an Isser that happens Mimela. Tosos over here on the bottom of Amud Beis in Dibra Maskul Eimer asks a very fundamental question. The Gemara tries to say that maybe Rabbi Yehuda only holds of a problem when it comes to Muktzah Machmas Mius. Oh, but Muktzah Machmas Isser, maybe that's much lighter, that's much more kal. We're not going to be so concerned about Muktzah Machmas Isser. Tulsa says it's really the opposite. Muktzah Machmas Isser is more chomer than Muktzah Machmas Mius, because the Gemara is going to say that Remeir asers Muktzah Machmas Isser, and in Mesechta Shabbos and Daf Mem Dalid, we see that Remeir is matir Muktzah Machmas Mius. So at least within Shitas Rabbi Meir, but it seems like that's the understanding, that Muktzah Machmas Isser is a more severe Isser than Muktzah Machmas Mius. So why is the Gemara trying to make a chiluk in the opposite direction? So it also suggests that Einachinami, when the Gemara is docha, that that maybe there's a chiluk, Muktzah Machmas Isser, it's a dichoy bialma. That the real reason we would rather not explain our Mishnah to be based on the idea of Muktzah Machmas Isser is because if the Isser of eating the animal that was shechted on Shabbos were purely because of Muktzah Machmas Isser, so then if it were not Muktzah, if there were some reason why this animal, even when it was alive, when Shabbos started, if there was some reason that you might have already thought about using it on Shabbos in a mutter way, then it wouldn't be Muktzah, and it would be permissible. What would such a case be? So the Gemara is going to discuss later. You have a chola b'toch beso. Chola sheyesh bo sakana, you're allowed to shecht an animal on Shabbos for a chola. So it wouldn't be Muktzah if you have a chola b'toch beso. We want to come up with this, with a case where Rabbi Yehuda would aser even in that, even where it were a Muktzah, for anybody but the chola to eat from it. So that's the real reason why we're docha. The Shita Mekubetza suggests it a little differently. He says more chamor, more kal, those aren't absolute terms. Sometimes you have certain characteristics of one category that make it more chamor, category A, than category B, and other characteristics of category A that make it more kal than category B. So over here also, he says, Muktzah Machmas Mius has one maila and one chisaron. Its maila is that it's not muktzah for everybody, because there are some people that just aren't disgusted by certain things. There are some people that have a lower threshold of tolerance for things that others would deem disgusting, and some people that are extremely sensitive. But the chisaron of Muktzah Machmas Mius is that it's mutzal liolam. It's not only for the Shabbos. I mean, you would never use it. If you have a ner yashan, no one would ever use it to drink from. No matter, or people who are disgusted by it would never use it. It has nothing to do with Shabbos. As opposed to mutzal machmas iser, you have the opposite characteristics. That on the one hand, its chisaron is that it's mutzal lekola olam. Everyone has the same isurim. It has nothing to do with your sensitivity level. But mitzad sheni, it has a certain maila that it's not mutzal the olam. It's only for this man of the iser as long as Shabbos is still around. So you can't bring a raya from the fact that Rabbi Meir is more machmir by mutzal machmas iser than he is by mutzal machmas mios. That necessarily Rabbi Yehuda would hold of that same paradigm, because it could be that they're each emphasizing different elements, that according to Rabbi Meir, it's all dependent on, is the entire world going to view this as muktzah or not? Oh, from that perspective, muktzah machmas miyus is less chamur than muktzah machmas iser. But Rabbi Yehuda might hold that the definition might depend more on, for how long is this going to be muktzah? Oh, then muktzah machmas miyus is going to be muktzah forever, is much more chamur than muktzah machmas iser. That's how the Shita Mukbet says, deals with this issue. Okay, says the Gemara now, a fourth and final possibility. Where do we find that Rabbi Yehuda holds that something that if you shecht an animal on Shabbos, it's going to be usher that day? Ella amravashi Rabbi Yehuda de mevashel here. It has nothing to do with muktzah. This is an entirely different sugya called Maisa Shabbos. It's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda with regard to somebody who cooks on Shabbos. What do you do with that food? Ditnan hamevashel b'Shabbos b'shogeg yochal b'mezid lo yochal divra meir. There are many different ways of understanding Rabbi Meir's sheet. We'll take simply, person cooks on Shabbos b'shogeg. He's allowed to, if he cooked on Shabbos b'shogeg, he's allowed to eat right away. He himself could eat on Shabbos. B'mezid though, he's not allowed to eat on Shabbos. He has to wait until after Shabbos b'kdeish yasu, the amount of time it would take to make that food. He has to wait, and then only then eat it after Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and we're focused on Rabbi Yehuda here. B'shogeg yochal b'motzai Shabbos b'mezid lo yochal olamis. Now, if you did it b'shogeg, you could eat b'motzai Shabbos. B'mezid, you're never allowed to eat from it. You cook food on Shabbos b'mezid, it's always going to be asur to you. B'shogeg though, if you did it b'shogeg, you're allowed to eat b'motzai Shabbos after b'kdei sheyasu, after the amount of time that it would take to make that food. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler Omer b'shogeg yochal b'motzai Shabbos lacherim v'lo lo. If you did it b'shogeg, I agree with Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowed to eat it b'motzai Shabbos, but only for other people, not the person who cooked it himself. B'mezid lo yochal olamis, lo lo v'lo lacherim. If you did it b'mezid, nobody's allowed to eat it ever. So he has this distinction within shogeg between lo and acherim. That's the chiddush that Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler is suggesting. Now the Rashi's shita is that even on Motzai Shabbos, the tafshil is only mutter. But just before we get to that, so what are we trying to say over here? Rabbi Yehuda's shita apparently is that if you do a malach on Shabbos b'shogeg, you're not allowed to benefit from that malach of the entire Shabbos. So that's the shita in our Mishnah. That's Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, where if you shecht on Shabbos, you're not allowed to benefit from that shechita the entire Shabbos. That's what we're associated with Rabbi Yehuda. The next step the Gemara is going to do is Gemara is going to say, why is it necessarily Rabbi Yehuda? Maybe our mission is going like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir also says that there are instances where you're not allowed to benefit from it that Shabbos if you didn't b'meizid it. So maybe our mission is talking about where you shechted b'meizid and it's usher on that Shabbos. How do we know that it's talking about that you shechted b'shogeg? So that's going to be the Gemara's next step. Or maybe we're going like Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, right? The Gemara is going to get into all that. But first, just some basic points as it relates to this issue of Maisa Shabbos. Shita of Rashi is that even on Motzai Shabbos, the Tavshil is not Mutar Ba'achila until Kidei Sheyasu. In order that, you know, whether it be Rabbi Meir, if you did it b'mezid, or Rabbi Yehuda, if you did it b'shogeg, whenever we say on Motzai Shabbos, Rashi says it always means not right away on Motzai Shabbos, but b'Kidei Sheyasu, that you have to wait the amount of time that it would take to make that food after Shabbos, so that you're not being nana at all from the iser of from the malacha that was done on Shabbos. So that's the sheet of Rashi, and that's the sheet of the Bahag as well, and the Ramban. The Rashi writes, and it's very mistaver that way, that you're not allowed to eat it that day, so that you don't get hana'a from an avera. So it makes sense that the only way to avoid hana'a from the avera is you wait till the point in time where you could have still gotten that same hana'a without doing the avera. However, the Ramban quotes a Shitas HaGaonim, and Rabbeinu Yonah is quoted by the Rashba. Both say that on Motzai Shabbos, it's mutter right away that you don't need to wait B'Kedei Sheyasu. The whole issue, they say, of B'Kedei Sheyasu is only when something was done by a guy. Why would be more machmir by an Amir La'akum, by a Malach that was done by a guy, than by a Malach that was done by a Jew? So, because you have to realize, say these Rishonim, that when it comes to a Malach that was done by a guy, there's a greater concern that if we allow you to get hana'ah from it, you're likely going to ultimately tell the guy to do the malacha for you. I mean, you'll come to go through a more purposeful direct violation because you say, if I'm allowed to get hana'ah from it, so then you'll come to ask the guy to do it. But when it comes to a malacha done by a Jew, there's far less of a concern that if we allow you to get hana'ah from it, then you're going to come to do malacha yourself. Because everyone realizes that a Jew doing malacha on Shabbos is a major problem. People are more makel when it comes to Amir La'akum, incorrectly makel when it comes to Amir La'akum, but that's the psychological reality. So if we let people get hana'ah from Maisa Shabbos of a guy, that's specifically where we wait Kedei Sheyasu. That's the entire din of Kedei Sheyasu. And therefore wouldn't apply to Malacha done by a Jew. So the Bach just points out that this Machlokas is Tali and a Machlokas Rishonim as to why it is that we have to wait with Kedei Sheyasu when a guy does Malacha. Rashi writes in Beit Sadaf Chavdalid that the reason is because you can't get Hana from a Malacha Sisser. Oh, if that's the reason, then for sure it applies to Malacha done by a Jew as well. You can't get Hana from Malachas Isser. But the Rabbeinu Tam is quoted in the Rush over there in Maseches Beitza, says that the reason is Shema Yomar Lenachri Lechadchila La'asos Avuro, that you might ask the Nachri to do the Malacha for you. Oh, if that's the reason, then there's a good argument to be made that it won't apply to Malacha done by a Jew, because you're not going to come to ask a Jew to do a Malacha for you. The Rishonim also point out, the Ramban and the Rashba, that L'chola Deos, if you're Mevashel for a Chola on Shabbos, where it was Mutter, because the person is Chola Sheyesh B'Sakana, then you don't have to wait B'Kedei Sheyasu. That for sure. Okay, so I ask the Gemara now further. V'nukma B'mezid V'Rabbi Meir, why not say that we're assuming why not say that our Mishnah follows Rabbi Meir, not Rabbi Yehuda? And yes, when we say that you're not allowed to get Hana'ah for that whole day, it's because we're assuming that the malacha was done b'mezid. And Rav Meir holds that when a malacha is done b'mezid, you can't get hana'ah that entire day. So why not assume that way? Says Mar Lo Salkadaitach, Tektani Dumi Dumi Diyom HaKippurin, Ma Yom HaKippurim Loshom Meshog Loshom Mezid Lo Achil, Av Hachnami Loshom Meshog Loshom Mezid Lo Achil. No, because we say if you shecht on Shabbos or Yom HaKippurim. Now the halacha is whether you shecht Meshog Mezid or anything else on Yom HaKippurim, you're not allowed to eat. It's Yom Kippur. You're definitely not allowed to eat. If we would say that our mission is going like Rav Meir, we would be forced to say, yeah, if you did it b'shogeg, then you could even eat on that Shabbos. If you did it b'mezid, then you have to wait till the next day. Well, that can't be, because if it's Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to eat even on that day. That's why we'd rather say it's going like Rabbi Yehuda, and even b'shogeg, you're not allowed to eat on that day. Now, the Hava Amina is a fascinating Hava Amina, though. The Gemara raises the possibility. Maybe when our Mishnah says that if you shecht b'Shabbos, the Shechita is kosher, and you're allowed to eat it just not that day, that's assuming that we're doing it b'mezid, that we're going like Rameir, we're doing it b'mezid. If you recall, yesterday we had a whole discussion of why it is that the shechitas kasher when you shecht b'mezid. We already know there's a halacha that a shechitas mumar is possible. And a mumar is defined as someone who's mechal Shabbos Pharisee. Someone who's a willing mechal Shabbos is a mumar. So we had the discussion of how in the world could the shechita be kasher. And the shechitas HaRambam was the shechita that the Mishnah is talking about must be b'shogeg. Because if it was b'mezid, then the shechita would absolutely be possible, because it would be a shechitas mumar. But our Gemara is willing to entertain the possibility that it was a shechita b'mezid. How's the Rambam going to read our Gemara? Rambam says that the Mishnah has to be talking about where it was shogeg, because if b'mezid, it's shechitas mumar. And here our Gemara is saying, oh, maybe we're going like Rav Meir, and it's a shechita that was done b'mezid. So this is something that challenged the Achronim, that Tzlach suggest that the Rambam must be, the source of the Rambam is the fact that we had three other answers of which Shita of Rabbi Yehuda we're following before we finally got to this answer. And all the other answers had to do with Muktzah. None of them had to do with Maaser Shabbos. Why? Why didn't we just say that this is the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda that we're going with? That it's this discussion? It must be because we reject this idea, this possibility, that it could be amazing. I mean, this whole question maybe talking about Bemezid is only within Rav Ashi's understanding that we're going within Rabbi Yehuda of Maaser Shabbos. But the previous Amoraim we never would have asked such a question within the Shitos of the previous Amoraim, and that's in fact how we paskin. They come up with other suggestions, how to be Miyashev the Rambam. Maria Asad suggests that, Tosos holds you're only a Mumur L'Chal Shabbos if it's repetitive behavior. You're always doing it. Right, so one shechita and you're ready mumul chal Shabbos. So Maria Asad says, yeah, because every mashu you're cutting more, you're making it bleed more. So you're violating multiple isurim with a single shechita. So maybe the Rambam would say that if a person only thinks he's doing one isur, he's not a mumul chal Shabbos when he does one shechita. But if he thinks he's doing an isur and doing multiple isurim, he realizes he's doing multiple isurim, then he is a mumul chal Shabbos. Such a dachuk kind of terutzim that they have. Very difficult to be miyashiv the Shitas Rambam with this Gemara. So anyway, says Gemara, Mimotzis Mukmat La Bishogig Rabbi Yehuda. Can you really say that our Mishnah is talking about where Yeshecht Bishogig and it's following the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and that's why we assume that it's Aser to eat that meat on Shabbos? But Afal Pishim is Chayiv Benafsho Katani. The Mishnah said you're Chayiv Misa. If we're talking about where you did the Aver Bishogig, then how could we say you're Mischayiv Benafsho? So Hachikamer, Afal Pishim be Mezid Mischayiv Benafsho. No, what we're trying to say is that even though you were to do it Bemezid, you would be Chayiv Misa. Since over here you did it b'shogeg, your shechita is going to be kosher. So says Gemara, okay, so we understand why we don't want to attribute our Mishnah to Rabbi Meir, because we'd rather not say that it's talking about a case of mezid, and therefore imply that in the case of shogeg it's mutter to eat right away, because that would obviously not be true about Yom HaKippurim. But why not say the third shita? Why not follow the shita of Rabbi Yochanan? Say that our Mishnah is following the shita of Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, who holds that you're never allowed to eat at that Shabbos whether you did it b'shogeg or mezid. Instead of narrowing the field a little bit and saying, oh, it's only going like the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and assuming that you did it b'shogeg, because if we were b'mezid, then the shechita wouldn't be kosher. You would never be allowed to eat from it. Say that we're going like Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, and it makes no difference whether we're shogeg or mezid. Says more, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, kamaflik matzai Shabbos la'cherim v'lo'lo. Tani dan shechitasu k'shera katani, lo shalov, lo shalacherim. Big difference between Rabbi Yochanan Sandler and our Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler makes a chiluk that does not appear in our Mishnah. A chiluk between the person who did it and other people who might benefit from it. The Mishnah makes no such distinction. It just talks about the shechita being kosher. So we'd rather not plug that distinction in to a Mishnah that doesn't say a word about that distinction. Now the idea of lo and acherim, what's considered, who's considered him and who's considered other people. So the Magen Avraham writes in Orachaim Siman Shin Yud Ches that a person who was cooked for on Shabbos, even b'mezid, is allowed to be nana motzoi Shabbos. Meaning you didn't cook the food, but someone cooked the food for you on Shabbos. Then on Motzai Shabbos, you're allowed to be nana from the food, and that's with Mishnah Berurah Paskins Lemaisa in Siman Shin Yud Ches. However, the Ksav Sofer in the Tshuva points out that that's only if it happened. It happened once that someone cooked for you on Shabbos. But if it's a regular event, it's a regular occurrence, and this person is constantly cooking for you on Shabbos, then it's not mutter to eat, then it's going to be usher, like it's usher from the Mevashel himself. So if you have a Jew cooking for you on Shabbos regularly, no way is that going to be mutter even on Motzai Shabbos. This is very, very relevant. The post can discuss what happens if you have large companies that have Jewish employees and they're running, they're functioning 7 days a week. They're cooking, they're baking, they're making things 7 days a week. So are you going to be allowed to buy that food and not on Shabbos, obviously, but after Shabbos and eat that food? So the Stipler suggested that it's that L'chora, So first of all, in the Sefer Chut HaShani, Rav Nissim Karel, it says that if you don't know about a particular factory that it was done b'chol Shabbos, you know, you don't know who did what, and you know when this food was made, if it was made on Shabbos or not on Shabbos. So then you could be somech on the Rov, and Rov of the days of the week happened to not be Shabbos, so you could be somech that your food was not made on Shabbos. However, the Stipler had a bit of a different take. Rav Nissim Karel quotes that the Stipler thought, yeah, but they assess how long their machines are going to run and how many hours their employees are going to work based on how much they sell. And if they're selling more, then they'll have their employees work more hours. So even when you're buying that which was made during the week, that's causing Chilul Shabbos if they have Jewish employees that are going to be working on Shabbos. Certainly in Israeli companies where all the employees are Jewish. So it's going to be a violation of Lifnei Iver. So Nissim Karel is not convinced that that's true. He says that would be true if you would in fact stop them from Chilul Shabbos. But if they're going to be doing Chilul Shabbos one way or the other, and it's just a matter of what kind of Chilul Shabbos or whatever, he doesn't think that that's necessarily going to be the case. But that's this sugya of being nena from Maaser Shabbos and how far we have to take it. So it says, Tani Tana Kamid de Rav, a Tana was teaching in front of Rav, a Braisa that says, Hamvashal b'Shabbos b'shoge yochel b'mezid lo yochel. That if someone cooks on Shabbos, b'shoge, you can eat from it, b'mezid you can't. Umashtik le Rav. And Rav quieted him down. He said, stop saying that. My time in Mashalei. Why did Rav quiet him down? Ilim shem to sphere like Rabbi Yehuda. If it's because Rav doesn't hold like that, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. V'tana tanik Rav Meir. And this Braisa was teaching the sheet of Rav Meir. Shem to sphere like Rabbi Yehuda. Man tanik Rav Meir. Mash deklei. What do you mean? Ilil divrei lekim chayim. Just because you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, no one's allowed to learn the sheet of Rav Meir anymore. He's not allowed to teach the sheet of Rav Meir. Va'od mi savor like Rabbi Yehuda. And furthermore, does Rav even really hold like Rabbi Yehuda? Va'amar Rav Chanan Barami ki mori luhu Rav l'talmidei mori luhu Rabbi Meir. When Rav would tell his Talmidim, he would teach his Talmidim like the sheet of Rav Meir. Only when speaking publicly to the Hamon Am would he add on the Chumrah of Rabbi Yehuda, because he was afraid that if he would take too lenient a stance, the Hamon Am would misinterpret it and they would take further liberties. So he was only machmir with his public face. But privately, he really held like Rav Meir. So why is he being mashtik a Tana that teaches like Rabbi Meir? V'chi teima Tana bepirke Tana kamei. Oh, to Kuli Alma Latana Tsaisi Lamar Tsaisi. I'm going to say no. He was quieting him down because the guy was trying to say it in a public shiur, and Rav apparently was makbid that in public you have to follow the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Well, no, people don't listen to the Tana. The Tana is the one who actually says over the Braisa. People listen to the Amora. The Amora is over here is like a maturgaman. He's the person who listens to the person teaching the Braisa and then shouts it out for everybody to hear it. So no one's listening to what the Tana says anyway. So why would you have to be mashtik the guy who's teaching the Braisa? So Amrav Nachman Yitzchak Tana Shochet Tana Kamei Derav Hashochet B'Shabbos B'Shog Yochel Mezel Lo Yochel, because we got it wrong. The story was a little bit off. The Braisa that the fellow was teaching was not that if you're Mevashel B'Shabbos B'Shog Yochel Mezel Lo Yochel, but if you're Shochet B'Shabbos, and that's an entirely different story. So Amrav Nachman Yitzchak Tech. And what Rav was saying to him is, why do you think that if you shecht on Shabbos b'shoge yochal b'mezid lo yochal, Rabbi Meir, you're assuming that that's the sheet of Rabbi Meir, and what difference does it make which malacha it was, whether it was the malacha of Bishul or the malacha of Shechita? No, you should realize you're incorrect. Ad kan lo kishar Rabbi Meir el b'mevashel d'ra'u ilachos. Rabbi Meir would only allow getting anah from the malacha that was done on Shabbos, if it was done b'shoge, if the malacha in question is Bishul. Because even before it was cooked, the food had some use. It wasn't muktzah. You could chew on it before it was cooked. Avul shochet den roi lachus lo. But if you're shechting an animal prior to the shechita, you couldn't chew on it. At least not without annoying the animal a lot. But you can't chew on it prior to the shechita. So if that's the case, it's totally muktzah. So forget about Maaser Shabbos. You're not going to be allowed to do it because it's muktzah. You're not going to be allowed to eat it on Shabbos. And that's what Rav took exception to. That the person teaching this Braisa didn't take into account that Rabbi Meir's case was where the meat wasn't muktzah because it was roi lachus, and the entire issue was a Maaser Shabbos issue. So he extended it to a case of shochet where you have a muktzah issue on top of the Maaser Shabbos issue. Just before we go further in that discussion, how do we paskin la halacha in terms of this machlokas, whether when malacha is done for you on Shabbos? It says machlokas rishonim. Tosus writes that since Rav taught his talmidim like Rabbi Meir, it must be that we really paskin like Rabbi Meir. So if someone is mvashal b'shabbos b'shogeg, you're allowed to eat it even the guy who cooked it himself is allowed to eat it that day without any knas at all. If someone was mevashel b'mezid, he's not allowed to eat it that day, nor is anybody else. But right after Shabbos, he's allowed to eat it. That's the sheet of Tosos and the Smag and the Sefer HaTrumah, and the Torah quotes the Reed that says this way. Nevertheless, Rov Rishonim say not that way. Rov Rishonim Paskin, like Rabbi Yehuda, that b'mezid, you're never allowed to eat it. The person who did it is never allowed to eat it. And for other people, it's mutter on Motzei Shabbos, and b'shogeg it's aser bo b'yom for everybody, and that evening it's mutter for everybody. After Shabbos is over, it's mutter for everybody if it was done b'shogeg. Why? Why do we pass on the Rav Yehuda? So first of all, Rav was Moruk Rav Meir is l'shitaso that Rav holds in Shachz Erevin that the klal that Rav Meir Rav Yehuda halach Rav Yehuda is not a klal muchlat. It's not an absolute rule. We happen to hold it is an absolute rule, so we're always going to follow Rabbi Yehuda, not Rabbi Meir. And furthermore, Rav himself darshaned publicly like Rabbi Yehuda because he was concerned about Amaratzus. Amaratzus is not a problem that's gotten better over time, meaning that problem still exists. So you can't go around darshaning that publicly. If Rav wouldn't darshan publicly, so now our Pesach Halacha has to be like Rabbi Yehuda in Shulchan Aruch and Simshin Yuches. If we pass like Rabbi Yehuda about Mevashel b'Shabbos, then the Ramah writes that the same is true of any other malacha, that b'mezid it's asr for you forever, and for acherim it's mutar matzai Shabbos, b'shogeg it's asr bo bayom for you and for everybody else. And there's machlokas haposkim, what about an issur drabanan? Three basic shittos in poskim. What if an issur drabanan was done on Shabbos? Some say we have to be more machmir by an issur drabanan. Some say it's the same, and some say we have to be less machmir. Why do we have to be more machmir by an issur drabanan? Same story we said before, that people sometimes will take liberties because they know it's only an issur drabanan. So if we're too makel on it, they're going to take it the next step. Others say, no, you're more makel on an issur drabanan than you are an issur daraisa. And yet others say, no, an issur drabanan is exactly the same as an issur daraisa. So the levush is more machmir drabanan. Prima Gadim says they're exactly the same. And the Gra is more makel on a drabbanan than he is on a daraisa. There is one very important chiddush la halacha that's quoted by all the poskim. The Chai Adam holds la halacha that this whole issue of Maaser Shabbos is only if it was a creative act that was done on Shabbos. But if you just when it's hotza'ah and it's the hana'ah could have been gotten even had you not done this malacha, right? You have an item here and you brought it somewhere else and you now want to get hana'ah from it somewhere else, so that's not called being nana for Maaser Shabbos, because you could have gotten hana'ah here. You just the fact that you transferred from one place. See, if you cook food, so then there's no talk of getting that same hana'ah without the. But Rav Moshe points out in the Tshuva, that's only if the Hana'ah could be gotten in the place you were originally. So let's say you carried a key on Shabbos. He says that key is useless anywhere except for the door that it unlocks. So if you carry a key, he thought that does not fit the heter of the Chai Adam, and that it would be asur to benefit from the hotza'ah of a key on Shabbos. Okay, says the Gemara for the four lines on the bottom. V'hamas nisn to shochetu. Our Mishnah talks about shochet. V'amar avuna dorish kriya bar rav mishmei de rav asur ba'chilu liyoma v'nasam chaver elameimu rabbi yudahi. That we said that our Mishnah, which does not allow getting hana'ah from the shechita that he did on Shabbos, only follows Rabbi Yehuda. Harameir, sorry, that implies that Harameir would allow it. But I thought Rav said, no, it's mukta. You can't possibly use it, even according to Rabbi Meir. Says Marno, ki shari Rabbi Meir, ki gon chayi l'cholim ibod yom. Harameir would say it's mukta, and the case where Harameir would say that you're allowed to get an offer from it is if there was a chole in your house, mibod yom. If there's a chole in your house, then it's not mukta, because then you're taking into account the possibility that you might have to use it on Shabbos. You might have to shecht it on Shabbos. Iyachi might have Rabbi Yehuda da'asar. Yeah, well then why would Rabbi Yehuda say that it's asar if there's a chola in your house? So go and show you the chola v'hivri, because there was a chola in your house, but then he got better. So then the bus was not muksa, because when Shabbos started, the behema was omid l'shchita, but on Shabbos, since the chola got better, now shechting is actually asar to do. So now you have a maisa Shabbos problem, even though you don't have a muksa problem. V'chiyada amar avach bar ada amar rav v'armila amar rav yitzchak bar ada amar rav hashochet l'chol b'shabbos. If a person shechts for a chol she is supposed to come on Shabbos, Asur labari, a healthy person is not allowed to eat that meat on Shabbos because it's muktzah. Hamavasha l'chol b'Shabbos mutar labari, but if you cook for a chol on Shabbos, a healthy person is allowed to eat that meat. My taima, hay roi lachlus, vayin roi lachlus. It's a pure muktzah issue. It's not ma'aser Shabbos because the malacha was mutar, it was for a chol sheyesh bo sakana, but it's a muktzah issue. So raw meat is not muktzah, the Gemara is assuming, because it's ra'oi to eat. People would eat raw meat. This is all dependent on the metzias. Is it something that anybody ever eats? Right, so raw fish, right, people eat all the time. Raw meat, so some places and some cultures, some types of meat, but it would depend, right? So that's so the Gemara is assuming raw meat is not muktzah. A live animal, yeah, that's absolutely muktzah. So that's the chilek. Amar Papa Pa'amim Sha'ashokit Mutter Kigon Shailo Chol Mibaldiyam. Sometimes someone shucks an animal on for a chol on Shabbos, even a healthy person can be allowed to eat from the meat, and it's not muktzah, and that would be a case where there was a chol in the house, so it's not muktzah. Mevashel Aser Gon Shekatzus Lo Delas. And sometimes, even in the case of cooking, it's going to be Aser, because it is muktzah in a case where you're cutting up a gourd that was, let's assume, mechuber lekarka. It's a big discussion we showed them over here, but there was mechuber lekarka, and then you cooked it. So since when Shabbos started, it was mechuber lekarka, it was not roi lachila when Shabbos started. Amar Rav Dimi Nardai, Hilchus HaShochet L'chola. So if someone chefs for the sake of a chola sheyesh bo sakana, b'Shabbos, mutar labari b'umtza. A healthy person is allowed to eat from it when it's raw, because it's not muktzah, since there always was that chola there. And you don't have to be worried that if it was mutar for a bari to eat from the basar, that maybe you're going to be marbe and you're going to shecht even for the bari. My time, in the Efshal Gazayis, basar below shchita, ki kashachet. You have to worry you're going to shecht more to feed the bari, because even though the chola only needs a kazayis, you got to shecht the entire animal, so there's going to be a lot of extra meat. But if you cook for a chola on Shabbos, a healthy person is not allowed to eat it, because we're afraid that you might, if we allow a healthy person to eat from it, you might cook more than the chola needs, so that healthy people can partake of it, and that would be wrong. That would be cooking extra for the healthy people. That would be aser. Says Mishnah, shochet b'magal yad b'tzor b'kamna shechitas k'shera. A person shechs with these different types of kelim. A tzor is a rock, a kana is a reed. The shechitas kasher. Magal yad has two edges. One side is smooth, the other side is ridged, and we're afraid you might come to use the ridged edge in the shechita. Hakol shochtin. Everybody's allowed to shecht. Even a mumar is allowed to shecht. Uli olam, as long as Yisrael checks the knife and gives to him to shecht. Uli olam shochtin. And you're always allowed to shecht, even at nighttime, as long as there's a torch that's lit. Ubakol shochtin, and you can shecht using any type of kli. Chutz mi magal katir, except for the magal that they use to cut the grain. Vamagera, and a knife that's full of straight pegimos. Vashinayim, and the teeth that are in the jaw of an animal. Vatziporen, and an attached fingernail. Mebrei shem chonkin, because those things will tear the simanim rather than slice the simanim, and that would be highly problematic. It would possible the shechita. Sa'ashochet yevanin lechachil lo. The lashon of the Mishnah sounds that you're allowed, if you shecht with a magal yad, a tzur or a kana, your shechita is kasher, but only b'diavad. Lechachil you're not allowed to. So bishlam of a magal yad, demasim lebebidach yitzah. I understand the magal yad, because it's got one smooth edge side, and the other side got a whole bunch of ridges. I understand why you wouldn't want to use such a thing. You might use the wrong side. But you're not allowed to use a rock or a reed, lechachila or a mini. We have a direct steer to that. You're allowed to use all these things, even lechachila. And the Gemara lokasha kan betolish kan v'mechubar, that the brisa that allows shechting even lechachila with them somewhere where they're detached. The Mishnah that only allows it b'diavad is when they're still attached to the ground. Damar of Kana shochet b'mechubar lekarka. Rebbe posel Rebbe Chiya machshir. It's a machlokas when you shecht b'mechubar lekarka. So the Mishnah that's machshir only b'diavad, not lechachil, is like Rebbe Chiya. Ad kano kamachshir Rebbe Chiya lebediavad, aval lechachil lo. Rebbe Chiya is only machshir b'diavad, but not lechachila. So b'mayukim. So how do we assume our Mishnah is going? Ki Rebbe Chiya. We assume our Mishnah is going like Rebbe Chiya. The fact that the Mishnah is machshir to shecht, that's only ubdiyevet. It's only assuming that you did it, that it was already done. Elohad Tanya, but the Bryce that says Bakol Shotin, Bain Vitolish, Bain Vimuchubar, Bain Vis Shasakin Lamala Vitsavra Bain Lamata, whether the knife is on top and the animal's neck is below, Bein Shasak Lamata Vitzar Veim Lamaila, or vice versa. And so money, whose Shita is that following? Lo Rebbe, it doesn't follow Rebbe, Velo Rebbe Chia, and it doesn't follow Rebbe Chia either. Why? Because Rebbe Chia, the Eved in, Lechachil Lo. If we're following Rebbe Chia, then it should only be Kosher B'di Eved. Rebbe Chia himself does not allow Lechachilah, and the Brisa makes it sound like even Lechachilah. Any Rebbe, the Eved Nami Lo, and if it's following Rebbe, then it's off even more, because Rebbe holds it's Pasal Legamri. So the Brisa that says, Bakol Shochtin, which makes it sound like even Lechachilah you're allowed to shat with all these things, who does it follow? Says Gemara, Li'olam Rebbe Chia, Va'afil Lechachilah. It's following Rebbe Chia, and Rebbe Chia holds even Lechachilah you're allowed to do it. Aye, but Rebbe Chia said you're allowed to do it b'di'evet. He never said you're allowed to do it l'chatchilah. V'adukamifbi b'di'evet lo diachah kochad Rebbe. The reason they argue in a case of b'di'evet is to show you how seriously Rebbe asserts this, that he passes shechting with that which is mechubar, even b'di'evet. So the last price that's matir to shech mechubar, even l'chatchilah, follows Rebbe Chia, and that's in fact what Rebbe Chia would hold. This defies the normal rule that if we want to highlight one shita, we always highlight the koach de hetera. Over here, we're highlighting with Dafka setting up a case where we can highlight just how strongly the koach de isura is. Tosos makes that note over here. Bez Hashem will pick up tomorrow in the middle of this discussion about Lamas Nisan de Katani. Oh.